It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. When Darius Clark Monroe was 16, he and two friends robbed a bank at gunpoint. They were caught. Darius cut a plea bargain and was sentenced to 5 years in prison. While incarcerated, he earned a GED and started working on a college degree. He was released after 3 years, finished college, and went on to study filmmaking at New York University. In his new documentary film, Evolution of a Criminal, Monroe turns the camera on himself and his family, friends, and community to explore that life-altering decision he made to rob a bank as a teenager in Texas. It's a compelling study in forgiveness and redemption. In late March, we screened the film as part of the Maryland Film Festival WYPR Spotlight Series. I spoke with Darius Clark Monroe after the screening in front of a live audience.
To me, Evolution of a Criminal is just truly the exploration to what systemic behavioral and familial influences pushes one to the brink of having to make a choice of committing a bank robbery at the age of 16 years old. And
What were some of those pressures? You were an honor student. I mean, mm-hmm. You say in the film things were going well for you.
Yeah, things were definitely going well. But at the time, 15, 16 years old, our home was recently burglarized. I was an honor student. But at the moment in my life, I was still very much aware of the fact that my family had been living paycheck to paycheck my whole life. And it wasn't just my parents. When I talk about my family, I'm talking about my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents. And these were people who got up every day and worked hard every single day, early in the morning, came home late, who sacrificed for many, many years. And I just couldn't understand at that age why it was taking us so long to get out of this stagnant place. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And I think when our home was burglarized, that just really, it saddened me, but it also just pushed me to make a choice, because I just felt like that home burglary just set us back, and I never knew if we were ever going to be able to recover.
Make a choice.
To make a choice to do the robbery, to do something, because I was working part-time. I was in high school, and I just felt like my part-time job was not helping at all in terms of just our finances at home. And so I made the choice to do something, which was the bank robbery.
In the film, your mother blames herself several times for confiding in you about the pressures, the financial pressures the family was under. Was that the real reason that you chose to do this robbery?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't because of the family pressures, definitely not because of not due to the fact that she spoke to me and told me. Although I felt like that didn't help, I was old enough to also be cognizant of my surroundings and my environment. And so I knew things were hard, and it just, you know, when you feel like things are not ever going to become easy, a robbery may seem like an extreme thing to do, but for me, it was the easiest thing because I just was obsessed with getting the money, and I was trying to figure out, well, what was the quickest way to get money to help this problem so it can go away as fast as possible, because it's been going on for my whole entire life up until that point. And so the robbery was just a means to an end.
And that end was?
That end was to pay bills, to get our house, get the rent paid, get my aunt's home out of foreclosure, just get money on the table to take care of some of the things that we were needing.
Describe your mother's reaction
to the robbery.
When you showed up, after you'd done the robbery, mm-hmm. and showed up with the cash.
It's interesting because my mother it was one of those things where she was filled with terror and paranoia. She also was so confused. It's hard for me to describe, and I don't even think I could. The actress who played her in the reenactment could really nail exactly, because it was just a multitude of different extreme emotions all at once. But the biggest thing is that she was afraid that I was going to get arrested immediately. Her and my stepfather kept, talking about the fact that they were expecting a SWAT team to come in anytime and knock down the door and arrest me, and they were concerned for my safety. They were concerned about the safety of, they wanted to know what happened to the people inside of the bank. How did it happen? But they were terrified, but they weren't terrified enough to, call the police, which I understand why, but they were terrified.
The film paints how the word spread, as one of your aunts says, the word spread like butter. But several weeks passed. Mm-hmm. And you say in the film that when the police showed up at your classroom, your teenage brain did not connect it to the bank robbery that you'd pulled off 4 weeks earlier.
Right, and it's it may seem crazy, but you know, Too Short, Officer Walton, who we call Too Short, that's someone we see all the time at the high school. And so when he stepped into the classroom, when I saw his face, he was a very familiar face. And so I wasn't thinking at the time that he was coming to arrest me. It had been almost 4 weeks. And when I realized that he was in the classroom to arrest me, that's when the reality of everything started to come around. But it was scary for me because up until that point, I've never dealt with the police in my whole life. That was the first time I was being arrested. And so I didn't know what the protocol was. And I didn't know how I was supposed to feel. And because it had gone on for so many days post-robbery, the paranoia that I was feeling started to dissipate. And I was starting to just get back into my own normal schedule and everything with school. And yeah, I was in a bit of shock when he came.
You robbed this bank at gunpoint with a shotgun, unloaded, but the folks in the bank didn't know that. Mm-hmm. When did it dawn on you that you had transgressed against these people, and what did you think you owed them?
Initially, because we were in that bank for maybe a minute and a half max, everything truly felt like a blur. And there was one woman who was a customer, and I'll never forget her face. She was the first person I saw, and she was squatted down just right up under like the deposit slips. And I always thought about her for many, many years. And I thought about everybody inside of that bank. But the day of the robbery, I was truly focused on getting the money. I had no interest in who the people were inside that place. I didn't want to have a whole lot of conversation. We didn't talk, we didn't touch, but I wanted to get the money and get out. But right after the robbery, going to prison, and many years after prison, I always struggled with the fact that I'd committed a crime against these people who were innocent folks, who were people who were just trying to go do their banking business and people who were working. And I felt like they deserved an apology. And initially, it wasn't supposed to be a film. I just wanted to apologize, but it sort of coincided with the fact that I was a third-year graduate student at the time when I realized I wanted to go back and apologize and somehow use that as a part of a much larger film.
And it was your friend and fellow student and cinematographer who said this should be a film?
He was. I mean, he did. And he was a cinematographer, and it makes sense. And he was a fellow film student. Because when I approached him, it really was on something genuine. It was just about an apology, about me going back down to Houston. And he was the one who said, you know, maybe you should pick up a camera and some sound equipment and shoot whatever this is that you're trying to explore.
That's filmmaker Darius Clark Monroe here on the Maryland Film Festival WYPR Spotlight. We're talking about his autobiographical documentary, Evolution of a Criminal. You really don't dwell much in the film on the prison experience. Mm-hmm. What is your view about the effectiveness of incarceration as a deterrent or as a way of paying society back?
I mean, to me, honestly, I feel like the current prison industrial complex that's present here in the States, and it's been going on for many, many years, does not work. I feel like, you know, I didn't rehabilitate because there was something in the prison that forced me to do it. It's because there are individuals who are other inmates who were positive and who were self-motivating and driven. And I surrounded myself around those individuals, and we pushed forward and continued to do the work. But there was nothing in that place that pushed us to do better or to, quote unquote, rehabilitate. And I think, you know, the places where you go to be destroyed and where you go to lose your dreams and lose your voice, but that place is not, there's nothing positive to me about that experience. There was nothing positive about, you know, incarceration. It was damaging. It felt like it was set up to destroy me. It felt like it was set up to destroy the spirit of all of those men that was in that place. And that was the spirit of the entire unit. It didn't seem like there was anything that was fruitful or uplifting about that whole entire experience.
In terms of penitence, it seems as if your real experience was not the 3 years you spent in prison, but the 7 years you spent making this film.
I would agree, yeah. And I mean, the 3 years were tough, but working on this film and realizing that my family had not really gone to therapy, that I hadn't gone to therapy or counseling, and that we were doing all of this emotional work on camera for the first time, yeah, that was tough.
You don't talk a lot in the film about race. Mm-hmm. You do mention the experience of, as a prisoner working in the fields, mm-hmm. a black man forced to pick cotton,
in Texas. Mm-hmm. But then you quickly also talk about what it's like for somebody who's 6'2" and 300 pounds mm-hmm. to have to stoop down to pick cotton. So you kind of almost pull back. What is the message, or is there a message?
Racially?
About race.
I mean, the reason why it wasn't like a big, bold statement is because it's, you know, race and racism is pervasive in this country. And I wanted to make a film that showed this family, and the family was set within the context of this country. This whatever this racial construct is in this country, I know that the story exists within that, and the audience that was coming to watch this film would be informed about the systemic issues that were in place. There have been so many films I saw that focused on systemic issues and focused on percentages and pie charts, and I knew that I was making a film that was talking about race and class and the prison industrial complex, but I also felt as a storyteller that I didn't have to say it out loud and beat the audience over the head. I feel like they would get it. They would understand that if there's a black family and everybody in the family is struggling and everyone is working hard and this is going on for generations and centuries, that clearly is, we're talking about a racial construct. We're definitely talking about classism and racism. I don't have to say it. I'm just showing the people. I'm showing that these are loving, hardworking people who can't access the American dream. And so it's the audience, onus is on the audience to do that extra work and pull it together. But it's all the pieces to me are there, especially with the cotton. I didn't have to make it any simpler in terms of prison is a direct extension of slavery and Jim Crow, and picking cotton has nothing to do with rehabilitation. It is there to psychologically destroy and to defeat you and to demean and degrade.
Who is it you hope will see this film?
I mean, I hope as many people as possible, but I'm really hoping that young people, especially young black men and women, young girls and boys who are currently in a similar situation that I was in, or who are headed in that path, or who have already made that mistake and feel discouraged and feel like they can't accomplish their dreams, their life is over, they're a second-class citizen. Even though it's going to be difficult, I wanted to make an example of, show an example of what it's like to still try to move forward and progress even under the umbrella of oppression.
Darius Clark Monroe. His film is called Evolution of a Criminal. We spoke in front of a live audience in late March as part of the Maryland Film Festival WYPR Spotlight Series. Evolution of a Criminal is available on Netflix and iTunes. We've got more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay right here on 88.1. Thank you.